Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just want to look at the first five verses of that chapter as we continue to study Paul's last recorded words, what God used him to write at the end of his life. And he writes to Timothy, who will, God willing, follow in his footsteps and continue the proclamation of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. This is where it gets personal. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. It's here that he seems to unwrap what he means when he says, preach the word, all the time. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Turn people back to the right. Rebuke. Call out sin. Bring conviction. Correct. Rebuke and encourage. Now watch the context. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, their tickled ears want to hear. They will turn aside their ears, or turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Will you pray with me? Father, before us are potent words. They are your words through your servant Paul. Possibly days before he entered into your presence face to face. They are words to Timothy, his understudy, one who would carry on the work of the Apostle Paul, the work of the living God. And they are words to us today who would have ears to hear. Would you give us ears to hear? And may we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I watched a video this week. It was a spoof on some of the America's Got Talent kind of programs that exist today. And it was called America's Next Top Pastor. They were down to their final three contestants. And the winner of the competition would get his own mega church in Orlando, Florida. The week before, they had preached on tithing. And now we were seeing in this video excerpts from their sermon to kind of see how they did. And then they would listen to the comments from the three judges on the panel. And the first guy was sort of a humble Christian, and he spoke and he talked about tithing, and they showed some clips from his sermon, and his was basically a little story about when he was younger and he had lost his job, and he said, I didn't have employment and I had $30 in my wallet, and he sort of in a humble way said, that's a difficult time to give to the Lord. And so then the panel kind of took over and they said, you know, that was okay. But, you know, when you started using Bible verses in your sermon and that kind of thing, boring. And so they kind of critiqued his sermon as such. The second guy was sort of this well-built, buff Californian with tattooed guns. And when he got up before the camera in his short-sleeved shirt, he kind of put his arms out like that to make sure everybody could see his guns and his well-built, curly hair, physique. And there he was, this Californian. And they showed some excerpts from his sermon on tithing. And basically all he talked about were tacos. and how we like tacos. And so the judges said, you know, I felt like I could really resonate with your sermon. And one of the judges said, I noticed that you didn't ever use the tithe word. He said, oh, no, don't use the tithe word. That's offensive. She also commented and said, you know, I noticed you never used God. You never said God in anywhere in your sermon. Oh, no, no, no. He said, we don't use the G word. That's offensive. But they sort of liked him. And the third contestant of the three remaining, the three finalists, was Beaker from Sesame Street. You know Beaker? Apparently Beaker doesn't really talk. He just sort of makes this whiny noise. And so I think he only had three fingers as a Muppet. And he held up his fingers one at a time, and he just sort of did this. And then they showed a video. I'm not even sure what the video was. And this one judge stood up and jumped up and down, and she said, that was so wonderful. Everything was so fuzzy. I loved it. And Beaker was named the next top American pastor, rewarded with his mega church in Orlando, Florida. What's the big deal about preaching the Bible? Why is that so important? And for those of you who've already tuned me out, we're not talking about tithing today because that's not what the text is about. But when it's on that, we'll talk about it. Rest fully assured. So what's the big deal about preaching this? Why not talk about tacos? Why not just show some videos? What's the big deal, Paul? In fact, he talks about people getting worse and not having ears to hear the word of God. So shouldn't we stop talking about the Bible and start talking about tacos so we can all go home feeling great? And we'll all end up in San Jose. What's the big deal? I mean, the question begs to be asked. Paul, you tell Timothy to preach the word. Why is that so important? Three reasons. First, preach the word because fabricated fables don't fake out the judge of the world. Preach the word because fabricated fables don't fake out the judge of this world. Look at what he says. Verse 1. In the presence of God, the creator, the maker of this world, regardless of how desperately this culture tries to make him otherwise, and of Christ Jesus, the judge, the only one who has earned the right to be as such, the only one who has lived perfectly, the only one who died for our sin and rose victoriously, defeating death itself. The only one who can judge this world. He will judge those who are alive today and those who have already died. In his presence and in view of the fact that he will come back. This world lives, as you may have heard in ABF Hour, as though this is it. That's because that's comfortable. That's because we feel like we can control that. We don't want there to be something other, and I'm talking we as in their culture, because that's something unknown. That's something frightening to a world who knows not Christ. And the idea of the return of Christ, frankly, causes confusion in the minds of those who understand not such things. In his presence, the one who will come again, rest assured, bank on it. He will come again. And he will build his kingdom. He is in the process of doing that. He won't be impressed with stories about tacos when he comes to judge this world. He will judge according to the truth of his word. He will return just as his word said. He is building his kingdom one heart at a time, just as his word says. Preach the word. Why? Because fabricated fables don't fake out the judge of this world. Secondly, preach the word because it is the word. Think about it. Go back to chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is the very word of God. Show me another story that is the word of God, and I will gladly preach it. This is the word of God. He is the creator of this world. He is the redeemer of this world. He is the judge of this world, and he will return to this world. And this is his word. Preach it because it is his. It is always the word. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. Other things will pass away, but his word will last for how long? Forever. And for those of you who are in ABF, Dad and I did not talk and decide that we would preach and teach the same thing this day, but he stole much of my thunder in ABF. If you're not there, I would encourage you to be part of that. It is always the word of God. It always has been, it always will be, and it always will be effective. Why preach this? Because the last time I noticed, tacos never changed anybody's life, at least not long term. They may have given you indigestion for a day or two, but they won't change your life forever. God says in Isaiah 55:11 that his word won't come back empty-handed, ever. And so when we preach the word of God, when it hits the ears of the listener, it won't come back to him empty-handed, but it will accomplish what he desires, whether it be that of heaping up evidence and judgment against those who are not his, or whether it means drawing to himself his own. God's word, rest fully assured, will always accomplish his purpose. Always. It's his. It's not just another book. It's not just a cute story. Genesis to Revelation, the story of God's creation, the story of God's redemptive plan from history begun to history end. It's all about God because it's his word about himself and what he is doing in our midst. It always will be effective. And if you read Romans chapter 10, in fact, flip back there for a moment. Romans chapter 10, just a few books back. And read what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Some of these verses you are familiar with, undoubtedly. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do you know how to get saved? God's word. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Preach the word because it is the word. Preach the word because fabricated fables don't fake out the judge of this world. And finally, thirdly, preach the word because men might listen to something other than man-made myths. Preach the word because men might listen to something other than man-made myths. Look at what he says. A time will come, the time will come, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Do you watch any of this stuff on television? Some of the people that proclaim what they would call truth? Some who would own the title or at least say it of themselves that they are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet I hear what comes out of their mouth and I go, you're kidding me. Paul says, Timothy, stick to the word. Nothing else will change the lives of the people who hear you. They'll go home giddy about being warm and fuzzy. It was so fuzzy. I feel so good. I learned nothing about the judge of this world. I learned nothing about the God who created me. I learned nothing of my peril apart from Christ. I learned nothing of his incredible grace to save me. But we can't say those words because they're offensive. A publisher, as Eddie talked about in his prayer, is being sued for publishing the Word of God because they didn't translate it the way the people who read it liked it. Do you hear what's happening? There's a day coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They've got itchy ears and they want somebody to scratch them. Sorry, I'm feeling a little allergic to earwax. Preach the word, Timothy, because there is a day when people will hear it. They'll turn aside to myths. One commentator tells us that that word turn aside is a strong term and it's used medically to describe wrenching a limb out of joint. They will wrench a limb out of joint to get to the myths, the falsehoods. The word doesn't always make my ears feel good. The word demands that I come into or under subjection. Stories don't necessarily call me to do that. In fact, if you stand before me and tell me your story, I can maybe identify with it, but it doesn't tell me what I ought to do or not do. I can just say, that's a nice story for you. But if someone proclaims the truth of the Word of God, I have a decision to make to either align myself or to ignore it and to wrench a limb out of joint to get to a myth, to turn aside. That might be the answer if I'm living only for the here and now and only to feel good. But I would miss not only the difficult truths, but the incredible grace. What I want you to do, I want you to listen to the Word of God. I want you to pray that God would, by His grace, develop your ears. I have told you before what an awesome privilege it is to stand before this body. In our backyard, we have a bluebird house, and I've grown fond of watching bluebird nests, eggs, little ones, and you can go and raise the lid on these fat, happy little baby bluebirds, and you can bump the bird nest or the box that they're in, and they'll go boop, and their little mouths will come open, unless they're well fed, and they're looking for something to eat. I want you to imagine that's what it's like for me, Sunday in and Sunday out. I just walk up here and bump the box, and your mouths just go wide open like, would you just feed me the Word of God? Thank you for being a body of Christ that wants to hear the Word. Cultivate your hearing skills by continuing to study the Word of God. Never accept anything but the Word of God from this pulpit, from these Sunday school classes, whether it be me or anybody else. Never be satisfied with tickled ears. Always learn satisfaction from the truth of the Word of God. Listen to it. Some of us may need a plastic surgeon to do ear surgery. Others of us may need an ENT surgeon. Here's what's cool. There is a very real sense in which you and I are called to re-declare that word again and again and again and again. To declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His wonderful life. When we communicate, or when we commune with Christ, we communicate, we show forth in living color the Word, living and written. And I confess, the more I study His Word, the less clear I am in the line of delineation between the written Word and the living Word. The spoken word, the Scriptures, are but an extension of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I commune with Him, we proclaim, we declare, we show forth, we put on display His death till He comes back. When you and I hear the Word of God, and by the strength and grace of His Spirit within us, live it out, we redeclare it. Outside these doors. Well, you guys do it right here because you won't go home after the service. You stick around and you put it on display right here. Listen to the Word of God. Continue to proclaim it. Because the judge of this world won't be fooled by these fabricated fables of mankind. Because it is the Word of God. And because there is a day when man will listen to something other than man-made myths, namely the Word of God. So hear it. So proclaim it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving to us your Word. Thank you that it is good for teaching and correction, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. Thank you that by it we see truth. By it we see where we don't line up, and we trust your Spirit to use the Word to bring conviction where we miss the mark. But not just conviction leaving us to our sin, but He also brings us correction and shows us how to come to the cross of Christ and receive that grace. And then He trains us in righteousness to live out the truth of the Word of God. Father, these are your sheep. Would you give them ears to hear? Would you never allow a day when this bride of Christ is content with tickled ears? But may they always desire the truth of your word. May they always, sometimes painfully, receive the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, would you continue a work in our hearts so that we might have a heart to receive your truth? Give us ears to hear. Give us lips to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.